Oh, batteries, we get to talk about in the next hour. IronEdison.com. So when did you expand your operation? You weren't always this big of assembly area, because I remember I went through our project, and we had a link to you from 2012. Yeah.
Man, so we started in a home office in 2010, and then we moved into this facility like 2 years ago.
Okay, I sent you some links and stuff. Did you take a look at any of that? The battery project and all that stuff?
No, no. I can take a look at that with you right now.
What time is it? How much time we got? Yeah, we got a little bit of time. Yeah, just take a look at that email that I sent you. Here, let me pull it up.
One thing to make it flat. Let me get one box on the top. Okay, that'll work. Perfect. Yep. Yep. Battery's behind me. Here we go. Can you see and hear me? Am I in live, like real time here for you?
No, I'm just seeing you got the icon. It says Iron Edison logo up there.
I see. How do I?
I don't know. Try at the bottom left of the screen. It'll say start video or something. Or you do the little hamburger thing. And
there it is.
There you go. Yeah. So then I can do this. We'll start off in the first segment showing a bunch of art here and so on. Then we can do that. Or we can go.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go through the art for sure.
Like that. So we'll go through the art and we got you all set. So I'll go like this. Share. Then we'll keep this going for at least first segment.
I see how this is happening.
And you can share. You can hit the share thing up here. And you could share your screen, too.
Up here at the top?
It might be at the bottom when you first do it. It says share screen or something.
Okay. Okay, yep. I'm good with like going through what you're going to go through here. And so.
Yeah, I got a bunch of other stuff I want to talk about. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, real quick, let's go to the...
Can you pull it up, what you wanted to show me?
Nah, it's on a different computer, but let me... The bottom line, well, I tell you, can you go to a website on your screen? Just go to freedomsphoenix.com.
Okay, I have to resize. It's okay. Freedoms,
Phoenix.
Yeah. Okay, I'm there.
Okay, then, well, we don't have time to go to everything. At the top where it says, just to the right of the bird, it says online magazine. Click on that.
Got it. Yep.
And then when that comes up, it'll scroll down to, let me get mine up.
Online magazine. It's loading.
There is a category on Freedom's Phoenix. We have energy. Then we have the battery project, where I'll tell you about it real quick. But go ahead and scroll down to to October 5th, 2012. Click in on that, and you'll see publisher. What did I call it? Publisher has that graphic in the article, original discovery or something like that. And it's about the battery project thing. So anyway, pull that up and then we'll get to it in a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us, but if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Undefeated here and declare your independence of me. You're in Stan Cock here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA Tifo Studios of Freedoms of the Nats, freedomsphoenix.com. Oh, we're going to have some fun today. I've been really looking forward to this for, like, I don't know, years. You know, when we first started doing the battery project, our whole thing was I was afraid that they were going to try it, because they started. They have military, they were wanting to, you know, carbon nanotubes. We're going to, you know, patent the technology to make bulletproof vests and military industrial. You're not allowed to do carbon. I'm like, what? Screw you. So as I was doing some research, iron, nickel iron batteries came out to be, yeah, this is, you know, it's Edison back in the day. You know, you got Jay Leno driving around in an electric car. That's on Edison batteries. That's 100 and something years old. So we're going, okay. Well, our friend Bob Anderson lives out for 15 years out in Lone Prairie in Tonopah, nuclear power plant refueling supervisor that 10 miles from the plant, and that'll be $30,000. And he goes, ah, screw you. Okay, so he created his own battery bank. He buried it under a tough shed 10 feet down and kind of, and on his third change out of lead acid batteries, just screw this, it's gonna be something that lasts longer, nickel iron. They started manufacturing them in China. You could order them. They were refurbing old ones in Minnesota or Wisconsin or somewhere, and we did that. And then I go, wow, what if you increased the surface area? I knew about carbon nanotubes, buckyballs, all this. Yeah, it's carbon, because you got the surface area, you can plate it and do it. So this is what I did, Brandon. What I did is I got a tube furnace from China, spent about $7,000-$8,000, and built a lab in my barn. And I took acetylene gas and argon and helium atmosphere, and with a catalyst, and I grew carbon nanotubes on the ceramic kiln post, then plated them with nickel really quick, because you don't want it to be a bumper.
Okay.
You know, yeah. So I plated them, and then I had a fiberglass, air filters for your home around with steel wool, you know, and the iron oxide of kind of built with the potassium hydroxide based, yada, yada, yada. You have to use ABS, blah, 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 made a battery. And it charged quick, it discharged fast, done. Now, Ernie, man, why? You got to keep making, woohoo, you got to be rich. And I go, I don't want to make them, I want to buy them. Then one of my listeners send me your carbon battery, nickel iron formula battery. I'm going, see, and now I can just buy it.
it's amazing. You can buy that plate foam by the roll, by the truckload, and it's, there's some incredible products out there. Batteries are.
I just give you a little bit so you understand my interest and that I, yeah, you know, kind of got it. And if you look at the article in that, you kind of see my lab and, you know, kind of playing with it. But what I needed was a 3D printer. This is back in 12. So I'm going, I get the 3D printer to make the case. You know, I had to, you know, the battery case, and you had to use ABS because the PLA just dissolves. And all
it
kind
dissolves.
Of
yep.
So I go, this is, man, if I could get that, then I get a 3D printer and this stuff starts happening everywhere and it's going to technology, kind of what I figured. So from that, pick it up where I left off and where you took it and what you created and why nickel iron to begin with, how the carbon get in there, and you got 3 minutes to tell me your life story. Go.
Wow. You've hit so many amazing topics. I'm going to back up to the intro and say that Edison used to live next to Henry Ford in a place down in Florida. They ran a DC electric line between sorry about that.
Oops. Yeah, plug in your microphone. And he's getting plugged up.
They ran a DC line between the two houses, and they were driving and charging electric vehicles between Henry Ford and Thomas Edison's house 100 years ago today.
I never heard that. That's awesome. Yep.
until there was a falling out and Edison cut the line. And so no more power down at the Fords. So that I have a keen interest in that historical documentation. I've got manuals from 50 and 100 years ago. And the technology that Edison came across is just a more durable chemistry. Like your carbon nanotubes, what you were doing is just increasing the surface area of a proven electrochemistry.
That's it.
It's like the electrochemistry is different. It's alkaline. It doesn't dissolve. It moves oxygen rather than dissolving and reforming a solid. So it's just like, it has its pluses and minuses. Like it's a bigger battery.
You know, let me see if you know this little bit of history as we go into the break. There was when I started looking into the nickel iron chemistry and why it worked and it lasts a long time. They use it in mines and remote, you know, outposts and so on because it doesn't go bad. And you can discharge, like, you get 1,000 amp hours of lead acid, you only use 500. You only use like half of it, you know.
If that, 30%, man. And you got to keep it cool. Yeah, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, no. I mean, it was just driving Bob crazy. So if you go out and buy 500 amps, you know, of nickel iron, you get to use it all. You know,
it
costs so much more per amp. No, it costs, you know, not as much as you think if it's what you're actually getting to use. So then, you know, we started getting interested in that. Then I found out that Exide Batteries, I think, bought up the last production of nickel iron batteries in the 70s and then closed the plant.
That's a story I've heard, and I would love to know more.
All I got out of Wikipedia or whatever, you know. I mean, it's just, I'm going, Exide, they got nickel iron, they buy them up. We don't want to do that because they're not disposable batteries.
That's like a fuzzy part in the history, and I've got so much great detail from like 1890s up to like 1950. And then, like, from 1950 to, like, the Exide years, like, it's a different era. There's not these, like, colorful brochures. I think it was, like, a competing product, and there were, like, a bunch of guys in a boardroom smoking cigarettes. Like,
yeah, no, it's like, you know, Tucker and DeLorean, and you're not allowed, you know? I'm telling you, man, I went through this, and once I go, okay, I get it. I've seen this play out 5 billion times before. So I just wanted to demonstrate that it could be done. Within 3 months, I had a working battery that charged quick. They have these battery testers that ham radio operators use on their batteries. They're a little heat sink thing that has a fire wire, goes to a laptop. That's how I was testing it and graphing it out. And I'm not a geek. I'm sure you're way more geeky than me, but I just wanted to, I just know what's going on here, these SOBs. So then I see that from the early days, Iron Edison, started off in a little bitty back room of a house of whatever, and all of a sudden now you're going concern. I'm going, yeah, here we go. All right. So when we come
to
when we come back, I want to start off with the beginning of you. What was your job before? I mean, you decided honey, I need that room. We're going to make batteries.
We were on the same team at a high tech server and telecommunications company that was like a tech startup that taught us about like sales, margin, Excel, being data driven, and using a CRM effectively. They basically like showed us how to run a business by starting up a remote business.
Oh yeah, no acronyms on this show. CRM means what?
Sorry.
CRM. Tell everybody.
Bye.
I'm sorry.
No problem. I won't.
No, tell me what CRM means.
Customer relationship management
Boom.
Software.
Boom! I'll be right back. From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago. But the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system, and jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Go.
Yeah, we got a couple more minutes. All right, and break. This is what's going on. I talked to your wife a little bit. My wife and I, we've been doing this for 30 years. You know, I've been doing radio since 03, and we have the web page since 05. It's a thing. I was the one, I don't know if you remember in 08, 12, Ron Paul running for president. That ring a bell. I'm the one that created the Ron Paul Levolution logo, you know, that went around. Now, what we're doing in May, we're liquidating everything. We're getting on the Love Bus, okay?
Yeah.
So the Love Bus goes in May, and this is what, one of the things we got a whole new battery system for this and that and so on, and we're putting a solar on it to go through the inverter and everything.
Yep.
And that's why my audience sent me, you know, your thing. We were looking for battery tech for us to promote. Because we have, you know, the battle, whatever the hell it was. I was looking at Simplify chemistry, and my wife was concerned because if you don't have the right charging, you know, matches up with the lithium ion, and it's burning underneath my bed. I mean, you know, so that would suck. So yeah, we're going, yeah, we need to have something in this. Kind of go, yeah, anybody do it? And the audience sends this to me. I'm going, I remember them guys. Okay, okay. So we'll see what we can work out, okay? Because this is going to be, you know, it's going to get a lot of attention because that's what I do. All right, see how much time we got. 40 seconds. So you see the lab. It was real simple. I had a catalyst that would, you do a chemical vapor deposition, what do you call it, deposit, whatever, onto the those kiln posts. And I got to the point that I could make a spongy, you know, carbon.
Yeah.
It was almost like a like a sponge, you know, it was foam. And, you know, that it and it got really dense. Like I'm going, this is the tech. Anybody that's doing graphene or carbon and these batteries, you know, here we go. I want to hear from the beginning of the tech. Why you chose nickel iron, how you went through that process and got the carbon. Here we go.
Discord.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we slipping into this twilight zone of, but it's real. It's happening. The future is nigh. You know, yeah. While all the crap is going on around the world and the stuff and this and they, them and those and whatever, and I don't care. You know, I'm going, yeah, the solution, that's why, you know, we haven't even talked about the pirate thing. You know, we got piratewithoutborders.com, and we have, of the eight categories that we have, one of them, of course, you know, is communication, transportation, robotics, energy, shelter, food, water, medicine, you know, transportation. All of these, power is like a big deal on every one of them. And you go into energy category, and it has all this stuff. So we're going to walk it through. Now, who we're talking to is Brandon Williams and his wife, Maggie, you know, have Iron Edison. Now, Iron Edison is owned and operated by Brandon and Maggie Williams. They have three children and live and work in Colorado. Brandon and Maggie believe in energy independence, and for the past 10 years, they have helped thousands of people achieve their goal, powering their homes with batteries and solar. Now, nickel iron. Tell me every little old thing about how you got to this particular chemistry and started your business and growing and everything. I want to hear your entire life story go.
So we started the business by designing systems, with knocking on people's doors, working with solar contractors who are already out there with the ability to help us install. And so we started from day one by listening to people tell us what they wanted to do. And we had to help fill in the gaps. People wanted a battery system, but they didn't know how to charge it. Or people had solar panels and they didn't have a battery. And so got into the very quickly system design. And I quickly came upon the history. Like I was drawn immediately to the Edison story. I read into it and I understand chemistry, like basic chemistry, like anybody else, and saw over here the most popular product on the market degrades and has a built-in obsolescence, or this other product that's slightly more expensive is a more durable solution and is ideally fitted to this stationary application where there's plenty of room. So like the lithium battery for the bus, for the Love Bus, that's probably a good pick because there's a lot of energy in a little box. Like, just make sure it doesn't, like, you know, follow. You got to follow up. But every battery is in that same category. Any battery under your bed is like has 2 days of electricity in a little box. So back to the nickel iron. So the nickel iron, obviously the best chemistry, obviously. We partnered with a supplier who's been manufacturing these batteries on the container load scale for 40 years. Nobody was working with them in North America. And we have been working with one factory that's been producing batteries in the same manner, nickel cadmium and nickel iron and silver zinc batteries, all alkaline chemistries, for 40 plus years. And so here we have an industrial product being built to industrial standards, using the most robust battery chemistry in the world. And you know, it was the crux of the recession. I had just graduated with a finance degree while listening. I remember listening to the radio every morning going to school, and they were saying, oh, 10,000 people were fired today. 50,000 people were fired today.
In the finance industry.
Graduations next week. And so then I got married. And I was sitting on a kayak on my honeymoon and said, babe, what are we going to do? Because, like, next week I gotta put my life together. Like, and I said, here's the plan. And she said yes. She said yes twice.
The plan. Like, here's the plan. What plan?
To start selling batteries. Let's do the renewable energy. Like, let's take the passion that we both have within us, the knowledge from working together, like the sales system, the relationship management whole system, and let's make it our own.
Well, that system, were you planning on going to distributors, or are you going straight to the people that are purchasing?
But we are an interesting mix. We're not anybody's competitors, and we're everybody's competitors, because we have some people who they're like a distributor level, but then they rely on us to design their systems. So like mostly we have partners, contractors, installers, and then we work directly with the end user. So
okay, now let's talk about the chemistry. You chose nickel iron because what?
Because it doesn't break down when it's being used. It's a matter of pushing electrons coming in and pushing oxygen from the water to the nickel plate. That increases the oxygen level from nickel to nickel oxide to another state of nickel oxide as it gets more charged. And then during discharge, that oxygen wants to come back and come over to the iron plate. The iron is spongy. it's ready to accept that oxygen back and oxidize. And when it oxidizes, when it, the oxygen hits the iron, an electron comes out. And that's what we use for the electricity. And then when we charge it back up, we push electricity in, oxygen hits the nickel, nickel gets more oxygen, and we discharge again. So all we're doing is moving an oxygen from water to nickel to iron, and then poof, electricity.
It, nickel oxide to rust and back again.
But here's the fun thing is the potassium hydroxide, the alkaline solution, prevents that rust from occurring. So it's amazing. It is literally amazing how that happens. So as long as those plates are kept submerged, and even sometimes when they're not, because they're so spongy, they hold on to that electrolyte and they don't rust. So how did I get my technical start? I got four nickel iron cells that were built in 1952. I cut the cases out of them. I went to the discount store and got four glass vases. And I hung the cells from the glass vases and charged these 50-year-old cells, the 60-year-old cells that had, like, one of them was rusted out and had bugs between every plate. And then I rinsed it out, made some new electrolyte, and charge this battery up in glass jars, which is what they used to do, and it worked. The plates turned silver. They like shined up on a first charge. And then I hooked it up to like my radio. I just ran leads from the end of these four cells to my radio, 4D cell boombox in the workshop. Radio comes on. Radio, I leave it on, it stays on for like a while, for a day. So I'm like, whoa, those are 60-year-old batteries. I kid you not, this battery, the plates were, it was the stuff of nightmares. There was like 1,000 roly-polies living in between the cells, the plates of this battery. I rinsed it out in my backyard.
Where did you get it from? I mean, a lot of these I'm seeing that they're, you know, from old mines and, you know, Antarctica freaking bases and whatever the hell, you know.
Railroad signal.
Oh. There was a business refurbing these, and then it was China started manufacturing them new, and that's where Bob got them from. Yes, they had to ship them into L.A., and it took like 3 months of then they mixed his electrolyte and put it kind of, it was a thing. But he hasn't had to touch them for, God, 8 years or something. I mean, you know, it's been a while.
That's right.
More when we come back.
There are basically...
Yeah, see, this is a fascinating story. You know, I want, because I... See, I'm busy. I do a lot of it, but I knew that this technology, the battery technology, was the key to a lot of stuff. And I didn't see. This is one thing that I tell my audience a lot. It's, I call it quantum reality. I go, blah, 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 whatever, law of attraction, whatever it is, that whenever I want something to happen, if I take one step towards it, you know, if I do a little kind of make some activism, start building kind of, then all of a sudden it's everywhere and it happens. And they go, well, somebody else got credit. Somebody else did. I go, I don't give a crap. I just want it. You know, I have to make an effort towards this and then it happens eventually. Well, you know, there you are. Thank you. You know, you're the, you know, literal prayer answer, you know, kind of thing. So I'm. I keep emphasizing this, that the future is awesome, but nickel iron is not, you know, lithium metal hide, whatever the hell, or ion this and that.
Lithium
and,
iron phosphate.
Yeah, yep. You know, iron phosphate. You know, there's a lot of these that may have, you know, different technology, but the point is that nickel iron, the weight doesn't matter when you're in a house or a bus. You know, the bus don't give a crap. I mean, I'm not going to put enough in there. It's going to know the difference anyway. But, you know, I'm looking for technology that I want to support. And until somebody comes up with something better and simpler and cheaper and effective as carbon nickel iron is what I was looking at. If you got something better and they're better than what, you know, let me know and we'll pimp the crap out of it. You know, because I see this as the future. This is what's going to make us autonomous. See, the one reason this particular bus we got has a 7-kilowatt generator in it, all the inverters that we need, the batteries, we got 12-volt panels, 12 and 24. And we're going to put on the roof some panels, and all that, and we can go either way. And as a matter of fact, I think it's He wants me to get a 24-volt inverter of... So anyway, my tech guy, you know, electric guy is, you know, yammering, throwing all kinds of numbers and chemistries at me. But anyway, so we're doing that. And the reason is because at the end of this trip, we guaranteed a year on the road. We're going May to May, you know, from May 2021. And when we do this, it's going to be promotion of a lot of things. One of the things we're focused on is health freedom, you know, like mandatory vaccines is bad and all that kind of stuff. So it's love bus. So in this whole push for, if you go to piratewithoutborders.com, you'll see the categories along the top, and you click on them, and it's all the current tech, you know, the top tech news in that category. And in energy, it has a lot of all this stuff, and you're in there somewhere, you know. So as we push this, I need to go, hey everybody, the tech is here. We can be independent electrically. We can independent communications. We're getting Starlink. If I can take my show and live on the Lone Prairie, and the only thing that I need is water. Well, here in Arizona, there's a lot of water underground. So this battery technology is, I'm counting on a year and a half from now for it getting to the point that I make a lifetime decision if I got that one. That's why we're talking.
Got it.
Okay.
And that's when your trip is in a year.
It starts May to May.
You can learn more about the channel's impact by watching the 3-minute video at fund.lrn.fm.
We leave May and come back May.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Stop me, cause I'm having a good time, having a good time.
Shooting star leaping through the sky.
Yeah, maybe a couple other laws. You know, I dive. You know, I whatever. You know, we're gonna go. No stopping us. You know, but you know, power. I'm telling you, this is a thing of the future. Why I made such a big deal about battery storage, and we keep covering that and the new technologies and so on. And what we're talking to is Brandon Williams and his wife Maggie. They're partners on IronEdison.com. They started with about the same time that I was, you know, doing my thing. They're doing their thing, and they go, "Hey, it's a thing." You know, so I'm going, okay, so they got Iron Edison. Now, how long before you started making profit or revenue, or what was it that you were creating that was of value to people? What were you doing?
We started actually January 1st after, and January 2nd, I believe, is like our incorporation date. And I closed.
What, 12?
2010.
10, okay.
Yeah, so 2010, and then we closed our first deal on my birthday on April 29th, and so we closed two deals on our first day there, and we started rolling an off-grid.
So you were like getting, you were distributing, you were getting the nickel iron batteries from China and reselling them here. Is that how it started?
That's exactly right. So that's really where
my friend Bob might got them from you, for all I know.
Bob went through a different channel, and like the issues that he faced during his import is like what a big part of our business is based around, is like import, logistics, warehouse, customs, hazmat, local distribution, drop off with like lift gate service, like having it DOT approved, the fact that it showed up with liquid in it, like there's a lot of stuff to do this right.
Instead of him having to wait 3 months and it's sitting in the customs of whatever the heck, you got a warehouse, you're bringing it in, you're ready to go, let's make a deal. Bye.
That's right. And so, and then we do special order batteries on a deposit basis, because batteries can cost anywhere from a couple hundred to a couple hundred thousand dollars. That's like our range, with like average being 10,000 to 20,000 for like a whole house system.
Okay, so go ahead and talk about, you know, the business and what your plans were and how it morphed into the different chemistry involving carbon. Explain that to me.
Okay, so as we're working with the nickel iron battery, then we get approached by several other partners, and the we see a company that's trying to make nickel iron batteries in America, some former battery engineers who get a hold of some plating equipment to make some new extra spongy iron foam. And for a while they do a great job. And, but running a manufacturing facility in America and like trying to do R&D, And then like it caught up to them. It caught up to them, and the product like was in R&D and needed another $100 million so I'd get off the ground. So the next thing that we kind of came across is, well, there's a local researcher up in Fort Collins who's been working on a similar project. So her name, she works for Colorado State University, and she has patented this nickel electroplated foam battery. And
electroplated on the carbon foam?
On the carbon nanotubes.
Ha! See? I just knew this is how it's going to go, man. This is awesome. All right. So they made it. How did they create the carbon foam? That now, you know, the way I did carbon deposition, but they have a one way they put methane in a tank with oxygen and a spark plug and goes boom, just like an explosion. They got a crap load of carbon nanotube and something like that. How are they doing it?
At the University of Northern Colorado's battery experiment lab. So I'd imagine they're doing it in like, you know, similar to your first method where you're plating on top of like an anode or a cathode. And so this woman has come so far in like developing her chemistry, which has tremendous advantage because of more surface area allows for like the chemical reaction to occur. So she had her technology patented and bought.
Of course she did. I will claim patent infringement because I did first.
Guess how much money she made. Guess how many tens of millions of dollars.
Gazillions of dollars.
Guess like maybe 50, maybe more $1 million for that patent because she sold it to Black & Decker because they are going to use it in Wee Whacker batteries.
Of course they are.
Of course they are, and your hand tool. So like, turns out you were right all along here. And
well, that cover that you see the girl in the lab, that's what she's holding in her hand.
That similar
carbon foam kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
You know, the carbon foam part. That's what I was going for.
Yeah.
You know, I got samples out there. I go, done it, did it, next. You know, I just wanted to prove that this could happen because the nickel iron chemistry, like you're saying, the oxygen, it doesn't consume, it doesn't sulfate up the lead. It doesn't, you know, consume, you know, hardware. It doesn't, you know, it's just, and it stays forever as long as you take care of them. And you can change, you have to change the electrolyte every now and then when or years or something, but that's not that big a deal. I get the bottle, I got a bunch of potassium hydroxide crap that, you know, sitting in my, you know,
chemicals,
thing.
But yeah,
but the thing is that I'm going, okay, the carbon, when you came across this, you were interested in what? It's performance. You saw it. They were going into manufacturing. So now it's being manufactured, what you're
correct.
Doing. And then Black & Decker, it's a different chemistry that they're doing. What's going on?
Slightly. So the carbon nanofoam that we're using right now is a technology that increases surface area, increases performance, keeps the temperature lower on the plates. It's like an improvement. It's an improved technology. So it's
how much lighter for the same capacity?
Yes, exactly. By increasing surface area, and like that's really the key. It's a chemical reaction. So the more space you give it, like imagine a Velcro or a sponge. Like how many more connection points there are, whether your sponge is big or carbon nanotube, like just having more surface area isn't so much better. Edison, instead of making his plates flat, he made them round and bumpy with like little grooves, like tiny little dots and
give it more surface
on
area.
All the surface area. Because that's all he could do. He was making like round tubes about the size of a pencil.
You know, I cover for like 6 years in a row. I went to the Consumer Electronics Show, and I was always look as a journalist. You know, I'm looking for battery this and that and so on. And what I really needed at the time when 3D printers were really starting to get going, because I needed to design the case, you know, and do because what am I going to do? Injection molding? I mean, come on. So do one offs. As I was doing that, one of the guys was interested in this, and he said, you're not just coating the outside of the nanotube with nickel. It's going inside the tube, too. You know, he goes, what do you, how are you doing that? Are you making sure is that, you need to look at that. So then I'm going, wow, I need to know that. Let's get an electron microscope. So I started doing carbon this, nanotube that, whatever, at the University of Arizona State here, going through. Nobody ever doing nothing about carbon, nothing, until one guy and the carbon nanotube stuff that he was doing as a global warming grant to see if there's naturally occurring carbon nanotube in the environment of blah, 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 to get carbon from the air of crap.
Probably.
You know, that was his grant. He didn't know squat about nothing. It was just he put carbon nanotube on global warming, and he got a grant. And I go, well, what about, he didn't know squat. I was like, you guys are killing me.
Funny how that happens.
Yeah, that's how it always happens. It takes guys like you, you know? So when she came up with this, how'd you even know about this technology, the foam?
You know, this is when people come to us. You know how when you were just explaining that, like, you put a feeler out there and things happen for a reason. And so it's through research. Like, we live, eat, and breathe battery technology. I live with one of these systems just like over my shoulder at my house. You know, it's like, it's what
we do. That's awesome story.
Just what we do.
We'll be right back. There we go. Yeah, this is great that we get to talk like this, you know, and that
appreciate
you've
it.
Done this. I'm, you know, Iron Edison, and you got the name too, you know, you know. So is there other technologies? Is nickel iron with the carbon, or is there, you know, it starts to lend itself to other batteries chemistry that you're advocating more, or what? Or is this the future?
Okay, so this is a great question that we could definitely, like, cover in, are we on? Or,
well, we're being recorded in the archive, okay, but not on the live show yet.
Okay, so this is a great question about what's next in battery chemistry and battery technology. We're at a tipping point right now where we see the cost per lifetime of multiple battery chemistries overlapping. Like, we have lead batteries, nickel iron batteries, and lithium batteries that are almost all at the same premium price point, like plus or minus 5%. It's and things
for
are moving.
What? Lifetime capacity of, you're saying if I changed out over 20 years and I got 4 battery lead acid changes versus the cost of the other blah blah blah, they're all kind of flat, or what do you say?
Not that kind, but like the new lithium batteries, the nickel iron batteries, those two are really like going to give the best cost per kilowatt, cost per cycle over time. So it's not just cost per kilowatt hour, it's cost per kilowatt hour per cycle, to figure out like how much does each cycle going to cost you over the life of the system.
Right.
So the nickel and the lithium, where like nickel's been around for 120 years now, 125 years exactly, the price point of the lithium has crept down to the point where it's like equal to that. So like a 30-year lifespan of the nickel iron battery is like almost the price of like 20-year lithium.
My friend Bob made this point. He was thinking, he's going, yeah, the nickel iron's been great and got me up to now. He goes, as I expand, though, he goes, I might be looking at some lithium chemistry, you know?
It's so. Sealed, maintenance-free, no off-gassing.
Well, does it use the foam of the carbon advantage, too?
In a similar chemistry, like the lithium, instead of dissolving lead into acid, which creates the lead sulfate, which is just like, that's just a bad way to go. Lithium batteries work by moving a lithium ion between two plates, like a graphite and a graphene, or like a nickel and a graphite plate, like over a very small area. There's a limited number of these ions moving back and forth. And so it's a lot like the nickel iron chemistry, except for we don't lose the oxygen. With lithium, we go lithium on this plate to lithium on that plate and back and forth and back and forth until like some of those lithium ions get impregnated into either of those plates, which happens at high temperature or low temperature or super high discharge rates, where you like really got to push that ion in. And now it's intercalated into the foam. Now that Ion's not getting out.
So battery charge controllers and battery management systems and all this other stuff can help with that, and I'm sure it will, but I'm just wondering what the future tech and if nickel iron is going to be around. And the foam changes everything for everything. That's the holy grail right there.
Yeah.
You know, so if I'd stuck with it and did it, and I go, yeah, but then I'd be like battery making. I got other stuff to do, man. It's your job. So, you know, but I knew this was going to be it. All right, here we're coming back.
Network at LRN.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, the future is nigh. Now, what do we got? They're getting to the point that we're having airplanes. You know, this one thing we're talking about, you get up to, I think, what was the magic number? Am I getting the math right on here? It is 300 watt hours per kilogram or something. Is that the conversion that they're looking at, the weight, the power?
Sure, that's a good one. So, in the airplane, in that Airbus?
Yeah, you start getting to, you know, 300. They're already getting 500 in the lab and so on, and what you're doing is God knows what. And I'm going, we're starting to go electric everything. I don't know if the energy companies, you know, the oil and gas, they're probably not liking it none too much, and somebody's got to die. I mean,
they're scared. I know people there, they're scared.
Yeah,
they're having to reinvent their business model. They want to become like the utility wants to become a subscription-based cell phone app where they are the market maker of where you buy this kilowatt hour from on your cell phone.
Well, I did it myself and got one of your carbon foam batteries and they can suck it. So this is what we're advocating to be. You can't be pirate unless you're independent. You know, declare your independence. I went pirate. Yep. So this is pirate power, pirating, suck it. All right. So then, and I'll show you some of the goodies on that too. You'll see a lot of stuff. So what we're working on is now you get the increased surface area. So you're not having a square foot. You got square, you know, freaking miles of surface area. You're putting nickel iron atoms on a carbon struck phone. It's just like you got 50 billion batteries in one battery. Now, the electrolyte, to take that capacity, do you need more electrolyte, a bigger battery case? You know, how is that affected?
No one's ever asked me a question in that manner. I like that. So a bigger case, like less maintenance, is always better. Batteries are resistors. They're going to get warm through inefficiency when you charge them. And maybe they'll get warm during discharge. So like, having big cells and like big reservoirs of electrolyte, like in stationary batteries, is great. Like that's, you know, let's use that space. And that's why we use the lithium iron phosphate lithium chemistry. It's a little bit less dense than the big name. I don't want to name those big other brand, but like all the big brands use a battery that can get a car from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. Like, my grandma shouldn't be driving that car. She shouldn't. She should not. She should not be able to like go out and buy a car that goes 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. But it's powered by this race to like who can get the most in the battery, like in the smallest form factor. Like that's cool on the drag strip, but that's not cool in my garage. I have 3 kids. I have a wife. I have a family and I have a home. Like I don't want to put a 0 to 60 in 3 seconds firework in my garage. And so
the arc is 3 feet long, you know.
On one cell. On one cell. And our batteries are like that big. They're big. And so my battery at my house could store like 4 days worth of power if I really had to conserve. If like the stuff at the end, like that's a lot of electricity in the box the size of like a
I saw kind of along this line that there was a storage container, shipping containers that were iron phosphate. It was an iron-based chemistry electrolyte, and it was just, you know, it stored all the energy in this big sphere liquid in the electrolyte. And so it was like, imagine a shipping container and it power a neighborhood.
You know, that's exactly right.
And but space wasn't an issue. And that's when it ran out, you just let it out on the ground and it just, you know, fertilized the trees. I mean, you know, there was a big environmental thing, but it wasn't for cars, you know.
Right.
It was for home base. So what you're talking about when you say, yeah, you know, we make it a lot easier and less maintenance and last longer and everything because in nickel iron, the electrolyte is what carries the charge. You know?
That's right.
So you go, you know, yeah, we just make a bigger case. What do I care? You know, I'm asking,
yep.
You know, I'm not, how small can you get it? We're not talking walnut size warp engines here. You know, I'm talking, you know, what's the best, safest, you know, chemistry that I can put in? Like if we do the love buses don't give a crap, you know, about weight. You add another 200 pounds and it goes, what's that? You know, I mean, I don't have, you know, 40 passengers in there. So this is, so I want to know the density of it and how big a battery needs to be comfortable. You get the maximum use out of it. And I don't really care how much electrolyte is in there. You might need more. So these different factors going into the chemistry on these, what's the future tech?
Okay. So at the end of the day, like in stationary or in the bus, like size isn't our biggest concern.
Right.
We're going to design the system first around like what is your electrical needs on the bus or at your house. Then we start to like, because otherwise, like, how am I going to tell you, or how can we both agree that like, this is the right thing for you? So we ask some questions, we get into it, we figure out like, okay, what's on the bus, what's in your home. We have like, you know, after 20 minutes or 5 minutes, frankly, I can narrow it down. And then at which point, we have cell sizes. So like, are we going to do 20 of the 200 or 300 amp hour to make like a 24 volt pack? Are you going to do more of the 6 volt lead acid carbon nano batteries where you can put one string together and get a 48 volt?
I don't know. I want to be a commercial for you.
Yeah. So we base it on the size, like your energy needs, the size of the panels and inverters and everything where that's going to take. Like these are fixed size. So then we say like, all right, there's this arrangement or that arrangement. We can move the little blocks around, and that's what makes every job different. That's what gets me out of bed every day. That's why I'm a system designer, because 10 years later as the boss, I'm about to, like, after this, I'm going to get on the phone and design 3 systems for people who, like, have from Cabo to Alaska to Kansas. Those are my calls that are set up after this. And that's great. You know, I've got some people in California building apartment buildings, putting batteries in, survival bunkers. We're shipping these things around the world in shipping containers. Like, it's just incredible.
Well, what I'm doing here, I'm looking at pictures I wanted to show you of the compartments that we're doing, that we have to put these in. And we're fine. We just bought a bunch of batteries. I spent hundreds of dollars on new batteries for, you know, the starter this and the thing that and so on. But we are going to put solar in there to charge when we're off the grid. So we're not, because there's a bleed all the time, you know, and all the, there's always
there
something.
Is.
So
absolutely.
We have knife switches that we, yeah, screw it. I just undo it and I don't worry about
you
it.
You should.
But, I'm going... Yeah, but if we had a good trickle, we had trickle charges in there, and you have the shore plug-in, we got the 7-kilowatt generator diesel on it, so I'm good there. And, of course, you have the diesel engine. And I'm looking for, yeah, we're going to do a solar thing, but I want to pimp the technology. I want people to know what, and if I can do it on the bus for the home that we're building a year from May, you know, starting, then we come back, and all right, we got this place and do. And kind of, we got so the bus itself is its own power generation station. You know, I'm fine on that, but that's not the point. I'm going, and all this Ernie's been screaming about for almost a decade of the carbon nanotube, blah blah blah. Here it is. See, he told you, waka 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 waka, and we get to pimp it, put logos on the bus, kind of, we're free. You feel me? You know,
yep.
So this is, and the technology that's coming, we'll talk in more detail. But the audience, they should know to go to what. IronEdison.com, and they start the process, and what can you offer them, and how are you going to make their life better?
IronEdison.com, and we just launched our sister site called BackcountryBattery.com, where we have the most affordable, pre-configured, small system packages that are ready to go. with like everything you need. So it's backcountrybattery.com is our brand new sister site with 100-watt solar panels, 12 small 12-volt systems, but designed right with all the parts and pieces that like designed by the expert. And then Iron Edison, the reason why we're here today, the reason why we're talking, ironedison.com. We have so many resources, Ernie.
Okay, wait. What am I seeing here? I'm seeing that you got flexible battery panels that I can glue tape, kind of silk, whatever, to the top of my bus here. You got, that's what we're looking for. You got it?
It's awesome. You can bend them up to 30 degrees. Yeah, no more than 30 degrees.
Well, we had a couple of these, but they were old, and they were only like 100 watts for like, I don't know, it was like 16 inches wide by, you know, 15 feet long or 12 feet long or something. But they had roof tar all over them, and they were just, So this is 100-watt, 12-volt, $649. Oh, my God. All right.
That panel's not $649. That's a system.
Oh, the whole system. Okay, I was like, damn, man. Freaking
nice. Oh, look, it's like a battery charger, solar panels. Like, we put it together. And, like, so that's a great starting point. Like, $700 for a 12-volt solar system. Like, that's, you know, that. Now we're getting into it, but like, yeah, we're here designing custom solutions. So I think like a good segue into our follow-up episode, Ernie, would be designing your system on the air.
Yeah, this is what I'm going to do. We're at the end of the live show, but we're still recording. And what I want to do is I go back at kind of the end of middle of March or beginning of April, because the bus is in New Hampshire, and I just came back. We bought it and got it, and it's at a friend of mine's that's, you know, big diesel, you know, heavy whatever, and we went back there, and about five of us were working on it, just pulling everything out, fixing whatever needed to be done, you know, rewiring to make nice, neat buses, you know, so that you didn't have all these wires, and, you know, kind of. So we know what we got now. Now we're going back and we're installing the studio, because we're going to be doing the studio, the show from there and all that stuff. As we're doing that, when I'm sitting, you know, I don't want to have the generator going on or have to be on, you know, power, and I got to run all my stuff to do my show. So that's a big reason why I need this, you know, off-grid power and, oh, my God, some solar, because I don't want to be running diesel engines while I'm doing the show all the time, you know?
Yeah. Okay, that's a great place to start. So what we need is to do a load calculation of your of the baseline equipment, like start with like what's the minimum and what's the realistic.
And yeah, so I have one of those meters you plug in.
Perfect.
And I have a separate circuit here that four circuits that come in that's set for solar. I just never put the panels or the battery, but I have everything set in here that's going to go into the bus that's already built, you know. So I'm going, okay, we got that, and I have the four circuits that come in to power this, and we put the meters on there, and I can't remember what the numbers were. It was like from Saturday to Saturday of the week, God, something comes to mind. It was 75 watt hours or something, whatever. Yeah. I can't remember. And the amps, I don't think it exceeded 15 or something. So I'm going to do that again. But what I need is I'll have you talk to Derek. Now, Derek is, hey, Derek, if you're listening, zoom in, man, real quick. Come on, Derek, you can do it. Yeah, push the button, do it. Anyway, so he knows the Zoom. He might, you know, pop in. He's out of Maine. So when we went back in New Hampshire, I'm working on diesel bus outside in the freaking sleeting rain of that sucks. Okay? So when I go back, hopefully it'll be a little bit better. Then we'll be driving it back here on the way. We'll have some of the interior redone, you know, and upholster and get a new couch and the counter of the whatever, and the wife wants a new mattress. But we got to install the studio. We got to power the surveillance cameras. We're going to be doing some recording, you know, and kind of so I can sleep and have the audience watch the outside for me, you know, whatever. So we're setting this all up. He's the one that's going to be able to give you the power and whether we're going to go 12 or 24. And I think we have some 12-volt systems, but I think it's 24. He was telling me I need to get a new inverter that goes 24. So that might be something we're working on. And then the battery tech itself, I'm really looking for the most marketable tiny house, moving, doing whatever that is. Nickel iron, you know, nickel hydroxy metal something, whatever, you know. And then, of course, you know, pimping the carbon thing because I get to go na-na-na-na-na because I like going na-na-na a lot. So this is what we're looking at, and we can pimp and promote it and launch and whatever. So when do you think we could do that kind of Zoom meeting?
You and I?
Yeah, I want to get Derek involved. We can schedule something. I'll have Donna do it.
This week,
what about Monday? Monday is a good day for me.
President's Day?
I'm a libertarian, I care, whatever.
Oh, well, I mean, that's another show, my friend.
I know, you got to be quiet.
I am the energy guy.
It's going to cure all those other problems, trust me. You know, what I'll do is I'm going to have Donna contact you, and whatever is convenient for all of us, we can get together for an hour and no commercial interruptions or anything. We just do a podcast, and we'll Zoom it, and we can go through the graphics, and Derek can give you the specs on everything that we need. And he's telling me I got to buy and get, and I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, let's, you know, have you come on and we'll talk about it, because he knows what I need. But it's not so much, I mean, I could, you know, it has inverters on it, and we can just throw some battery, you know, and get a, you know, thing. He knows how to set this all up. Hell, I got the equipment here. But the thing is that's not really the point. My point is I want to promote the tech. I want to promote, you know, the ability that this is bringing to people to go off grid. And I don't think they understand how close we are to being autonomous, everybody.
Yeah.
Just in the last few years since we started this, the energy capacity has just gone, well, even by weight, but we're not worried about that for what you're talking about. You know, it's a home base. So, or a bus. I mean, a bus don't care either. I mean, you got to get really freaky, you know, before it cares. But I could have my house stuff hell on the bus and go build my home. And, you know, and then I just move in and I'm pull it from here and go over there and I'm done.
Get the tax credit, 26% federal tax credit. So, you know, when we pay that obligatory tax at the, you know, you can get, say you owed the government $1,000. If you spent $1,000 on solar equipment, you would have a $260 credit off of your taxes. So like now you were going to pay that $1,000 anyway to the government. Now you own $1,000 worth of solar equipment and you're only giving the government $760. Like to me, that's a win because that equipment that you bought is going to generate a revenue stream. Like not only do you recognize that credit, but like, now you're offsetting future expenses.
Okay,
as well.
I'll tell you another little tidbit here. Bob lives out in Lone Prairie. When he has to run his generator to do his well pump, because it has, you know, like a big amperage or whatever, or an HVAC or something, but it's getting to where it's so cheap for the panels, he just gets more. Well, I do crypto mining. So I had but the electricity, the cost was not the electricity. Say it's a fee. It's not a fee. It's a tax. So it goes up with your use. A fee is like a set amount. Liars. It goes up, and all of a sudden, the taxes make it unprofitable. So what Bob does, he has a home in Tingsboro, Massachusetts. He turned a couple of them on. We went back there, put them in, and boom, he heats his house. It's cheaper. You know, then he got the solar out there. Well, in the middle of the day when it's rocking and rolling, or he has to have his diesel generator on, you know, he's making crypto. So you get to the point to where you get efficient enough that it can, you know, especially in the winter, you're running it anyway. You got, you know, to heat your place. It heats the place and makes you crypto. All of a sudden, you're the crypto guy's new best friend, too.
That's right. I just did one of those systems, too. So they do. They take a lot in. So back to the politics really quick. I am going to make a comment that I am a system designer. I'm an energy guy. I respect your politics because they're your politics. And like, I value your privacy because it's your privacy. Just like I hope you would value mine, even though I gave you my birthday. You know what? But I still really I respect and value everybody's personal opinion. And I've met a lot of really interesting people with different perspectives that have taught me a lot. They taught me to open my mind and just listen, frankly, even though I love to talk, if you can't tell. It's taught me to listen. And I'm here as the energy guy to listen. Like, your system's really cool because it's all you. it's yours. It's your project. You're going to live out of it for a year and do this amazing show on the road from an off-grid solar and battery system. Like, I want to know how much power that draws, because that's the system for you, is the one that's going to work. Then we'll figure out how to make it fit, and the money, and like the sizes and the panels and all that other stuff. But we need to know, like, I don't care if I'm powering a bunker or a crypto mine or a bus or a tiny house or a cabin, or if it's like you're mad at this guy, or you like got money from that guy. Like, I don't care. I do care, but, because I want to hear like what's going on. You got something to share. But at the end of the day, I respect people and I value their privacy. I'm here to do my job. I do my job every day.
You know, this is what I think we're okay. We can make it work the way we got and throw one battery. That's not the problem. It's that this whole trip, the whole point, is the Liberty Tour. And part of that Liberty, go ahead and do me a favor before I let you go. Go to piratewithoutborders.com. If you go to Freedom's Phoenix on the left, you'll see a red box link to it. You can just click that. But
okay, Freedom's Phoenix. Oh, there it was. Up. Hold on. We're getting there.
Now we'll get there. Now, this is not the final layout. We've been working on this for a long time. This is not being emphasized like we probably will on the trip. But we created the infrastructure and the forums and everything, and it's just amazing, the people that are getting involved in this thing. Now, if you go on three things you should know about. Along the top, you'll see communication energy. If you click on energy, then you'll see all the tech that, and then scroll down and you'll see, the recent tech on energy, and then there's your Firefly carbon foam battery, fourth one down.
Yeah.
Okay, fifth one down. So this is, if you go through this for a decade, from the beginning of, this, let me see if it keeps loading. Yeah, you go more at the bottom and it just goes on. You can see of the technology in here that I've been paying attention to. And you go, damn, okay, well, there's that, Then you have the letters of mark online. We have Amazon book, and then you got online right below the ship there. You click on the letters. Now, the letters of Captain Mark and his sidekick, the female character is Reprisal, so it's letters of Mark and Reprisal. Dr. Barber is, Dr. Idris Barber. He's the barber on the ship, which is like in the Wild West. It was always the doctor that pulled your teeth, kind of thing. So Captain Kidd, and then the pirate code and all that kind of stuff. These letters, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth letters, each one, the first is, peace out. The second one's cryptocurrency. The third one is hailing frequencies invisible to the crown on communication. Then we get into, property rights and on and on and on and on. So it's from a pirate, the crown sucks, perspective.
Uh-huh.
So you read these and you go, oh, okay, I get it. Well, the whole thing is anarchy is only 62 miles away. 100 kilometers up, you're out of any jurisdiction of government.
Yep.
So there's this, our pirate theme has our ship and everything is getting in the Orville, Seth MacFarlane's Orville ship fan video game. We have all kinds of, it's just starting to take it's starting to take into pop culture. Now, underneath the top left there where it says the precariat, take the virtual tour, just click on that and you'll see what we're designing.
Where is this? Okay,
so you see what we're doing is this ship is kind of like the bus. The ship is, you ship and you live on it. It's kind of like Firefly Serenity. So when I saw that you named it Firefly, I go, I wonder if he's a Firefly fan.
Look at this.
And it needs some really good batteries. You feel me?
What software did you use to model that?
I didn't. One of the fans did, and named Cameron. They used Blender. He just, it's like we were doing this, and all of a sudden, 5 months later, it shows up in my email and in the forum, and he just designed it. And then we've done, for the game, we have the Phoenix, which is the fighter, and it's like a, shape of a Phoenix, and the first mate flies that. And then we have You know, a bunch of interior. This is a contest that we have for the promenade deck, you know, the vendor area, sick bay engineering, you know, the hangar deck and blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
But that pink in the beginning, that's an, it's an airship. It's lighter than air.
Yeah.
So, or at least, you know, reduces it. Good. But it's also.
I was going to say, use the blimp power to get up.
Right.
Yeah.
It's also a spaceship. So. So you can see we're having fun. This is how we're promoting this technology. So wow. As we're doing it, you look at the love bus, you know, I'll show you. You know, these scenes that's on there, it's hard to make it out on here.
I see that.
Are from our, well, the scene, you know, it's a futuristic kind of whatever from our magazine covers. You know, so this is, you know, it's a symbiotic relationship of all the things that we're advocating, but it always came down to battery storage.
Yep.
Everything. So we take in this trip and we're promoting, you do that. You know, I go, we got that covered. And Starlink, we're going to have ubiquitous Wi-Fi across the planet. And we're done. Where can I go live? Iron Edison. Feel me?
That is an incredible design right there. I've got to say, there's like a blended wing, like in wing concept airplane that I just saw.
Freedom's Phoenix. It's like the second or third article. Take a look.
Yeah. And it's exactly. And there's the Boeing blended wing, but this is actually like more of like a traditional wing that has maybe 20 like ducts going through each wing, so that like there's 20 micro.
Oh, the lithium.
Yeah, and so
lilium
it's another,
or something like that. Lilium. It's a flying car.
They want to put that. This is like a military airplane, and they put like one of those generators, like you were talking about, the one of those batteries inside of the fuselage, and then the battery and a hybrid engine system inside the fuselage of the plane pushes electricity out to like 20 little micro motors on embedded in ducts in each of the wings, and essentially just keep on flying for a couple days rather than having to get refueled in a couple hours.
Yeah, so, let's see. Yeah, I think it's called the.
It's a DARPA project.
Well, oh, you're talking about the. Well, I was.
Yeah, we're getting close there. You know, yeah.
This one is the. Okay. They just started, you know, actually flying it. There was another plane that they designed for when the battery packs did start getting smaller. You know, they're just designing the plane and waiting on you.
Yep.
You know, so
smart
this
design
is,
right there.
You know, so that, this is. I'm hip, man. I'm all over it. I've been trying to, you know, get. Yeah. There you go.
Yep. That's the way it's going to work, because you have the redundancy and like a central like monitoring system. And so however you.
Well, what's the biggest challenge before I let you go? You know, kind of help me out on is it battery management? Has that become less of a problem with this technology?
Nope.
Is it the construction? Where are they assembled?
All over the world now, but mostly in China, where like the costs for assembly are super low. It's just like, and man, I'm all
the
for
the carbon
like,
foam ones are being assembled overseas.
Those are in, I'll have to check on that because I think those are North America batteries. So there's a lot of lead acid work being done in Mexico right now because of environmental restrictions, California based like permitting. Shut down basically all the refineries from like Pennsylvania to California. And then it got pushed south of the border. And so there's a lot of work being done, both in Mexico and in Canada, because the Canadians allow for, they have a little bit more leniency in their like working of treatment of lead in an industrial situation where like the US government was like, has like a zero tolerance policy. What happens with lead is like lead, when you process it, dust kicks up and it blows and it like then lands on people's and like it like has a big wide contamination circle. Yeah. And so there's just like no real way around that. And so there's just like who's more tolerant and like
Indonesia, they go and they build a factory of whatever. I get it.
So, I mean, downtown LA is maybe not the best spot for like one of the last like lead acid recycling places. Like, it's downtown LA. Like, there's gotta be a better spot. And then like downtown Pittsburgh, like there's gotta be two better spots than like literally on the river downtown. Like, you know, like,
hey, man. There's some city councilman that needs a contribution. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it takes. Like, we got to start doing this more. Like, we need to be building more batteries in America. It's going to help us. Like, we're going to lose.
Well, this is a, you know, we do every week. I'm like, you're still voting, you know, but we do the Trump report every week with a co-host I have that we do the Trump report for the last 4 years since he came down the escalator. And it's been, he was certain he was going to win because, man, you don't get it. And here we go. So we've been covering this from the beginning. And the first thing that a lot of people didn't get a lot of fanfare, but one of the first things that he did with executive order was took away the power to stop a lot of manufacturing or so on. And the EPA, they just, it wasn't that it was a pollution thing. It was just a political pull, pay us, we'll get it taken care of corruption thing. You know, because these guys, I'm not getting the feeling that these guys really give a crap about my air, my water, my whatever, as they're forcing me to do all kinds of crap. So I'm going, no. So when Trump doing a lot of this stuff, the administration, he gets elected again, there's probably going to be a lot of pullback on a lot of this stuff, and jobs will start coming back just from the capability of doing it. I don't have a problem with it, making sure it's safe and testing of whatever, but I don't want, you know, my life, liberty, property damage. That's the proper role of government is, you know, for that, you know. But it's not doing that. They don't give a crap about that. They're just how much money they can make for them. And I'm just like, you know, hell no. Well, this tipping point is what we cover. I've been doing activism for 30 years and radio since 13. And I'm telling you, I've never said this before. Oh, this is the most important. This is the year. This is the year. This is the year. And that's why this is going from May to May. I don't give a crap about the 2020 election cycle, but 2020 is the year. And a lot of us that are in on that, we're going, are you feeling it? Is this? Yep, this is it. So I'm thinking this is it. And there's going to be an enlightenment. There's going to be people, man, we know, I don't believe in the credibility of these guys suck, and I'm looking for, and I want to pimp, push, demonstrate, make that the future is bright, there are options, and with battery technology for the home of here we go. And especially when we're talking about here in the Southwest, I got enough solar, we're fine. I ain't worried about the energy. It's the storage. And the panels have gotten so freaking cheap, you know, that it's amazing. It pay you to haul them off. I mean, you know, it's literally.
Probably.
I remember, it was like $8 a watt or something, and now it's down to, I can get them in bulk from Sun Electric for 28 cents a
28
watt.
28 cents.
It's ridiculous.
28 cents.
Have you ever seen this? Sun Electric?
Oh, I know, man. I follow that.
Yeah, no, you get, I have to get by the pallet. It's ridiculous. So, it's the inverters, the batteries, the batteries, the batteries, the batteries, and you come up with, and the batteries. So, give me kind of a comparison with a carbon foam battery, nickel iron, compared to another one. How much size or efficiency or increase in power, or does it really matter? I mean,
it matters. And like, I frankly don't have like the technical document in front of me to say like this many cycles. Like what I do is like, look at that. There's so many important specs, like not to totally dodge your question here, but like there's three types of batteries that we use: the lead acid, the nickel iron, and the lithium. And within those classes are like subcategories, like the nanofoam in the lead acid, the like emerging nickel iron technologies, and balancing the lithium iron phosphate in like in what voltage and what capacity. And so it's like the price point of the carbon foam lithium, of carbon foam lead acid, nickel iron, and lithium, plus your cost per cycle, it's a fun balancing point. And like what we're advocating with the nanofoam lead acid is like a 10, 15, 20 year lifespan with good, with like good care and temperature regulation, where we've never seen that before with lead acid. The nickel iron battery is just frankly different. It's like bigger, and it works it works different. And then the lithium is in this new class of, like, we have to deal with computers, and like, if there's a solar flare or an EMP from a solar flare, what's it going to knock out? Like, the lithium BMS is what it's going to knock out, the super sensitive little bits. So, like,
battery management system.
So no
acronyms, man. Everybody's like, what the hell are you talking about?
I read yesterday that, like, acronyms is the fastest way to, like, lose your audience. So I apologize. So the battery management system is the computer that goes inside of a lithium battery, monitoring every cell. And that battery management or monitoring system is important to making sure that the battery doesn't go too high or too low. And if a big surge of electricity came from somewhere else, like, it could knock off those little battery management sensors. One of the sensors goes down and the battery says, protect myself, disconnect. And so because of, like, a solar flare or an EMP, we've got this really super sensitive computer hooked up to a super powerful battery on board. At, you know, after the solar flare, like, I'm going to have a 12 volt LED strip and some nickel iron batteries and a solar panel hooked right into that nickel iron battery, because there's going to be no computer chips left. So it's really, like, it's a balancing act of, like, short term costs, like, lower price, short life.
I'm going to leave that up to you and Derek to determine, you know, what we want to pimp.
We need to get technical to see, to see what's because right.
But I need to be, you know, like, sales guy. We have it on and links to and whatever and so on.
For sure.
Because I'm promoting this tech to a bunch of the audience that I know, the people that are looking for this very thing. Our whole audience is declare your independence. And you can't do that and be dependent. Sure as hell on the grid. So that's one of the, if you look at some of the art we have, like, you go in the shop and the shirt, and it has above the grid. And the reason we're not off grid, we're above the grid. And the reason is because you get that 62 miles up, you're, hey man, I'm off of your crap, man. I'm all good. You know, my address is not anywhere, you know. I mean, you know, bite me, you know, go serve the air. I mean, you know, whatever. But the that concept is what we're promoting. You go pirate. You know, we have pirate boxes that have Wi-Fi that's battery packed, that we do information of people just download on their phone anything without having to have a USB or whatever. Or we do, you know, all kinds of Raspberry Pis and interplanetary file sharing, that we have forever internet that never gets censored and can't go down. And they can suck it. And we do it with pirate boxes of nodes of using Raspberries and SSD drives and yada, 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 yada. So this is part of that. But everything is around the power, and it's the storage, the battery. That's why the audience knew to send me, you know, when they saw the carbon thing that you had done, because I'd seen your site before. I just didn't even think that you know, you'd be going down this road. So I'm going, all right, here we go. So I'm so go ahead and expect a communication from Donna. She will set up a time over the next whenever. I mean, you know, we'll get to it. It'll be you and I and Derek. We got to get our schedules done. You know, if he would have called in now, we would have done it now. But I want to make sure that we kind of get an idea of what it is that we need, what you can do, and what you want to promote, and what kind of deal we can work out.
Sure, Yep, that sounds a compelling pitch. It is a compelling pitch, and so
that's gonna be nationwide, man. We're starting in the end of May. Here we go. It's gonna be controversial, though. We're gonna be focusing on this vaccine thing. You know, ours is all about the mandates. We've done. If you go to vaccineeducationsummit.com, you'll see all of the, you know, the things that we're doing. We're doing one in southern New Hampshire on the 6th of June. So this starts it, and then we have two festivals in New Hampshire, Pork Fest and Fork Fest, you know, these big freedom things, this Free State Project deal at the end of June. So in June, and we're out camping, and we're out at the, you know, this is a really good for the kind of people that are rich crypto guys. These kids that, you know, a decade ago sitting around a park bench telling me how they're going to change the planet, and now they're gazillionaires. So, you know, I'm going, okay, need a battery? But anyway, yeah, we bought an island. We bought St. Kitts, you know, whatever. So this is right up your alley. Donna will communicate with you. We'll get a show. He'll tell you, and I'll start sending emails, get you prepped, information that you could have ready, and we'll do that, and boom, we're off and running, and we'll get whatever you say we need.
That sounds fantastic.
Deal. It was a great serendipity, man. Serendipity. It come together, and we're going to help each other out. All right. Thank you very much, Brandon. I was really excited about, you know, meeting you and see how things just finally come together.
Check us out. Give us a call. IronEdison.com. And, you know, things happen for a reason. Serendipitous, I think, is a.
And the other one is backcountrybattery.com. You know, and I got, you know, so people can see, there it is. You know, I got it on this screen here. There you go. All right, full system. Brandon, peace, brother. Thank you very much. I look forward to talking to you soon.
Next time.
Bye.